אוקיי.
ערב טוב, good evening everybody. פרשת השבוע, the famous parsha, שלח לך, which everybody called this parsha, פרשת המרגלים. The story of the spies. The truth is, in our parsha, they're not exactly being described as spies, they are being described as tourists. But we all know that this parsha we have twice. And when we in Sefer Dvorim see the parsha, it's a whole different story than what we see here. So first of all, we have to understand why is the Torah telling us the story in two different perspectives. Because in our parsha, really, if you read, they were assigned by whom? Vayitaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor shlach lecha anashim. And God talked to Moses, the first pasuk of the parsha, and God talked to Moses and told him what to do. Parashat Shlach Lecha. No, who is sending the meraglim? So, in other words, the idea comes from. But when we look in Sefer Dvorim, it's a whole different story. We're not going to go into it. When we get there, we see. But there, the story is that the people come and tell Moses that they want to send people to look at the land. So, obviously, we...
Well, because it's saying that he's sending them.
Yes.
Only if you please. If you please, means...
That's already explanation. But the Torah, the Pshat, that's Rashi. And it's okay. That's the idea behind it. We understand there is... But the Pshat is written, and by the way, it's not the only place where we see the Pshat is written in a different meaning than what really was happening. Because as we already talked in the past a few times, there is a connection between the outside and the inside, between the spiritual world and the material and the physical world. And the outside has to show what you've got inside. Unfortunately, sometimes the outside doesn't show what's inside. So the Torah is telling us that sometimes even if something looks holier than holy, it can be the worst sin in the world. So in other words, sometimes we see people that with... let's say, saintly faces and act. They tell us to do things and they tell us things and sometimes we fall into it. And we believe them. Because they looked very honest and they are very clever people. And sometimes they are also Talmidei Chachamim. Because who are we talking here about? Those are the best people in Am Yisrael. Vayishlach otam, pasuk 3, Vayishlach otam Moshe mi'midbar Paran, and Moses sent them from the desert of Paran, al pi Hashem. God told him who to send. Kulam anashim, Rashei bnei Yisrael ema, the top people. So first of all, we have to understand, is really God sending them? Is Moses sending them? Or it's all the demand of the people? What is the true story?
He's saying that God told them.
But as we say in Sefer Dvorim, it doesn't look like it. No. The truth is that it's all connected. No. They wanted...
Moshe is repeating what happened before. Maybe he
forgot. Maybe he forgot that God sent them.
But here it is.
Yeah, but there, Moses adds other things that we don't see here. He says, you came to me, and you asked me to send people. And here, nothing is written about it. So we have to understand the whole Torah is truth. So if the Torah in Sefer Dvorim tells us a different story, or let's put it, it's not a different story, it's the same story. But Maybe there are layers here. As we say, Shivim Panim LaTorah. Let's see if we can combine all those things together. So, we all agree that there was a sin here. We also agree that here we see that God is sending them. And we also can agree that on Sefer Dvarim we see that the demand to send people comes from the people. So it can be the demand came from the people and then God tell them to go. So now we have to understand, did the people bend the will of God? Or what's going on here? And were they right or wrong to demand to go? Because if we say God promised us a land of milk and honey, the promised land, the holy land, who are we to question God? But from the other side, we see that God agrees. Nevertheless, here it looks that God is the one who is sending them.
It's not the first time that the people demanded something. The people at one time demanded Melech Shaul, right? They wanted a new king like everybody else.
Of course. But the question is, we always have to know what's going on here. What is the reason that God agrees? So when we're talking about the king, it's a different story. But here we're talking about people that want to see the land. Now the point is very simple. What is the reason the people want to see the land? And what is the reason that God is sending them? Maybe there are two different reasons. Maybe each one of the sides wants a different thing. Because God is sending them latur et haaretz, which we call in English to tour, sightseeing. That's what it is. Go have a fun and look at the promised land that I promised you and look how good it is.
Did they know which area each one was supposed to get? Were they supposed to go look in their own area?
This is a very interesting question. And this is we're getting now, if they were sent the spies, why do we send 12 spies? This is ridiculous. Yoshua bin Nun and the Haftarah, he's sending 2 spies. And those 2 spies being captured. Almost being captured. And here you send 12 spies going 40 days and 40 nights through the land and nobody touches them and nobody sees them. And why do you send 12 spies? Or maybe, what did you say? Maybe it's not spies. We're talking about to tour, or in other words, if somebody wants to do Aliyah, you all sitting here did Aliyah. Now, sometimes people decide we're going to do Aliyah, they leave everything behind, and then come to Eretz Israel. Good, bad, they don't care. They do Aliyah, whatever it is. But some people, before they do Aliyah, they send the head of the family to look for a job, to look for a place to live. In other words, maybe God is sending them from a very different reason. He promised them the land. And he's telling them, now you send representative. It's impossible to send from each family somebody. So what do? You send from each one of the tribes, the head of the tribe, or one of the top guys of the tribe, to go and see the land and understand how good it is for his tribe. In other words, the idea here is not to be spies.
No, just to confirm what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. That's why they're being sent 12 people, representative of each one of the tribes. Because think about it. If it's spies, first of all, it doesn't have to be necessarily from the same tribe. If it's spies. Yeah. You bring the best people that can spy. And as we know, each one of the tribes had different qualities. So maybe, for example, Shevet Yisachar, there are those who sit and learn. They're not suitable to be spies. Shevet Gad, there are fighters. Yehudah, there are fighters. So you send the right people. So, you know, so when we start to thinking about the picture, we understand that maybe one minute, we say, the spies. But we forget that they were not sent as spies. They were sent as
tourists.
They changed the idea. In other words, when they approached God through Moses to ask to go into the land, their idea was not to tour the land. Their idea was to spy the land. That's why they saw everything in a very crooked way, because they saw what they wanted to see. And why was this? Let's not forget, we're talking about top people, tzaddikim. So how is it possible that they go to the promised land and they come back with those bad stories on Eretz Yisrael? Does this sound reasonable? So what happened? Why did they talk badly on Eretz Yisrael, the promised land? Let's see what they say.
Unless they never really wanted to go.
But God told them. And why don't they want to go to the promised land? What reason?
We don't know.
So we want to find.
Maybe. Okay.
Let's find a reason. So let's see what those spies are saying when they come back. Pasuk 27. They come back. We cannot go, of course, through the whole story, but we try to get to a few of the interesting points of this parasha in order to get a picture about what's happening here. So, do we have Pasuk 27? Vayesapulo vayomru. And they tell Moses and say, Banu el haaretz, we came onto the land, Asher shlachtanu, which you sent us to, and gam, and surely, yes, it's a land of milk and honey. And look at the fruits. They brought fruits, unbelievable fruits, big, good fruits, but huge. But then they say something very interesting. Efes ki az a'am Hayoshev Baaretz. What is Az A'am? What is Az? What is that? What is what?
Dwells.
People that live there.
The dwells.
Az what? What? They are heroes. They have a lot of power. They are very strong. That's normally what we think. Why? Because all the time we think about the spies as common people that just go and talk badly on Eretz Yisrael. But the real truth is, they say the truth. They say Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. So yes, the promised land is a good land. But there is a problem. What is the problem? Do you think that the problem is physical or spiritual? And that's a clue. Why do we think it's spiritual? Because we're talking about people from the top, tzaddikim. Now, what spiritual reason can it be not to go into Eretz Israel? What do you think? It's a good land, but they say the people.
People are very afraid of the people.
As panim legeenom. That's what the Mishnah says. What's Azpanim? Azpanim, the one who's got a chutzpah, who's got a face with a azut metzach, like, you know, those with arrogant face. In other words, Azpanim is not necessarily a hero in the way of physical power. It's a spiritual corrupt power. And God tells them, when you get to Eretz Israel, don't do the things that the people do there, as you were being brought out of Egypt, and there they were also bad people that were impure and filled with sins. And the explanation there is that Eretz Israel was even worse with the Tuma from Eretz Mitzrayim. In other words, they're going from a bad place to a worse place in the point of view of the spiritual point of view. In other words, the Meraglim say to themselves, we are now in the desert, enjoying the most beautiful facilities to get to the highest spiritual level we can. They getting food from heaven. They have water through the veil of Miriam.
But they complain all the time.
About what?
Who doesn't care the water?
Physical things. But here we're talking about, who do we talk about now? That's exactly the point. We're talking about the spiritual point of view. Those people are not the one who complain on food. Those people complain on something all different. They complain about the spiritual situation. They say to themselves, you see, if we take the people now into Eretz Israel, this is going to cost us. Because those people are so into the physical world and the joys of life that Am Yisrael will be corrupted in 2 minutes. And then we lose the whole game. So we're better off stay where? In the desert. And not put ourselves in a dangerous situation that can corrupt us. Ki azam, the land is beautiful, but the people are no good. They're corrupt.
So you mean this? They did this to help Israel?
Yes.
Because they feel by safeguarding them, they're going to keep the nation whole.
Yeah.
Yet, it went
so where? Yet what? The Torah doesn't agree. They did. The Torah doesn't agree. They did a good thing. So we have to understand what is wrong and what they thought. First of all, a very simple thing: if God tells us to go in, what does it mean?
You go in.
It doesn't matter now if the land is good. Is bad, if the people are bad, the people are good. God tells us.
Lives there.
That's what they say, of course. Why do they say no? Now, we'll connect the things together. Who is Amalek?
Amalek is the ones that wouldn't give them.
The one who doesn't believe in God. The one who go against Am Israel and tells them there is no God. So this guy, this is the one who is living here in Eretz Israel. In other words, from the spiritual point of view, it looks like they are right.
They were right.
Yet, if they were right, you would have had 100%. Or 12 would have felt this way. But you only had 10.
So right? in other words, there is a problem.
So 2 people saw it the way it really is.
So why did the other 10...
So apparently these people...
So why did the other 10 see the picture in a different way? Because they realized... And that's one of the biggest problems. We're not talking here about simple people. We're talking about the best people. And the lesson is for us. Because as we always say, this is not a story. This is a Torah to tell us how to behave. And in each one of us, we have the Meraglim. That sometimes they take an spiritual excuse in order to satisfy our own ego. What do I mean? If I need a rabbi, I would choose the best spiritual guy I can. If I need somebody to work in the field, would I take a rabbi or a farmer. If I need somebody to fight a war, a physical war, who would I take?
A warrior.
Not the rabbi. No. Now, those people are rabbis. Why? Because the leadership in the desert was a spiritual leadership. They didn't need fighter. They didn't need to plant anything. They didn't need to do anything. The only thing they needed to do is what? Learn Torah. So those leaders realize that the minute they go into Eretz Israel, what is going to happen to their leadership? Are they going to stay leaders?
No.
They don't need them anymore. It's a different leadership. And as we all know in politics, if you sit on the chair, you don't want to leave it. I said once, I'm going to invent a chair that sticks to the wall. Now it goes with the chair. It doesn't have to leave the chair. The chair goes with it. So now we start to understand the picture here. Because they were worried about their position, they looked at the things in a, let's say, not in the right way, but their eyes were darkened. They saw what they wanted to see, or in other words, they saw and explained to the people, and they really believed in it. Because inside, they didn't want to lose their job. It's a simple story. And it happens to us all the time. How many times do we change our mind and look at things in a way we want it? And sometimes we even cover it with a holy reason. Doesn't happen? Happens all the time. So that's Chet HaMeraglim. Because this is not a story. This is to tell us what is the meaning of Chet HaMeraglim. Now, as we said, the intention was you send the people. And you go and check the land. As the same way, unfortunately, it happens that some families from abroad, from Chutz La'aretz, send, they want to do Aliyah. They send the head of the family, the father, the husband, he comes to Eretz Israel, goes around. Whoa, what a beautiful country. But it is corrupt. Not only corrupt, everything is very expensive. And job, there is no job. So he comes back to his family, and what does he tell them? Efes ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz. Terrible people. Chutzpadik. They've got no manners. A job? No job. You want a house? No house. In the price of the house we've got here, we can buy a small flat in Tel Aviv. I know it's true. That's what the Meraglim said. It's also true. But now we understand what is the sin of the Meraglim. It is true, but is this the way to look at Eretz Israel? They were punished severely. Because when you go into Eretz Israel, you have to look with the right eyes. That's why the Parsha is ending with the mitzvah of tzitzis. It says, they were sent latur to tur, and what is the mitzvah of tzitzis? Lo taturu achrei levavchem v'achreinechem. You should not tur, you should not look through your eyes and your heart the way you want to look. You have to look in the eyes of the tzitzis, in the eyes of the Torah. The same words. Velo taturu. What's written in the end of the parsha? ולא תטורו אחרי לבבכם ואחרי עיניכם אשר אתם זונים אחריהם.
Which is surprising. They're judging everything on people, and yet the land spits out our sinners. The land itself does it.
Of course.
Here these great people didn't have any idea what the land is giving them.
The land waited for Am Yisrael. Eretz Israel has got no meaning without Am Yisrael. You have to understand it. That's why when we left on diaspora, this land was desert. There was nothing here. Mark Twain wrote about it. And this is also a prophecy written in the Torah, not in the Nevi'im. The Torah itself, Yavo ish me'eretz rechoka, and a man will come from a far country. And he will say, that's the Torah. Not the Nevi'im, not the Ketuvim. It's in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah written. And it happened. Mark Twain came, and he writes back, and he tells he comes to a desert land. It's nothing to see. Everything is a desert, and this, he says, this guy says, this is the prophecy, it's written, that when Am Yisrael will leave the land will stop to bring fruits, to give anything. Till we came back. And look at Eretz Yisrael now. So we can, of course, look, as they look at the bad side, but we can look at the good side. And we have to understand, we have to look with the eyes of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, with the eyes of the Torah. To understand and realize if God sends us here, there is a reason. And it's the best thing for us. There is the story about, I told you in the past, a guy wanted to buy a house. So to bring him to this huge house, a mansion. And he goes in, and the place is stinking, smelly. After 5 minutes, he cannot stand, he goes out. He says, this is the place, forgive me. I told you I want to buy a good house. I've got a lot of money. And this is what you show me? A house with bad air? So this agent tells him, sorry, if you waited a few minutes more, I would open all the windows and the air will come in and refresh the air in the house that was closed for maybe now 10 years. And you know, when you close a house for 10 years, think about what's going to happen when you open the door the first time. What's going to happen? Not only smell, you can even sometimes even choke.
Dust.
The dust.
Insects.
The insects. The jukim everywhere. Maybe mice. Who knows what? So your first impression would be, let's go. But when you open the windows and the air comes in and you see this beautiful house, you clean the dust and you find this beautiful marble on the floor. That was what we already described. The Meraglim came in. The land was closed. It was occupied by Goyim, by the Amalekim, the Canaanite, by people that were corrupt. So the atmosphere was bad. Yes, it was bad. But this was our job, to open the windows, let the air of the Torah with Am Yisrael go into everything, and then you will see the beauty of the land. But you see, they behave as this guy. They just opened the door, saw the situation, and went back to tell stories. Why? Because deep inside, they were afraid about losing their job. So they saw what they wanted to see. It was true! But you know, as we say, every coin has got two sides. There is always a glass which is half full and half empty. It depends what you look at. But sometimes we look at what we want to look. So the sin of the Meraglim is really seeing things in their own eyes, with their own interpretation, because they had a certain touch and were afraid about losing their job.
That's the problem. They had a predetermined idea of everything.
That's why one of the questions Or HaChaim HaKadosh is asking. He says, Shluchei mitzvah einam nizokim. If somebody goes and does a mitzvah, nothing is going to happen to him. And as the surf we see, who is sending them? God. So are they Shluchai Mitzvah or not? Yeah. Shluchai Mitzvah. So why did this happen to them? Because they say if somebody is going sent and doing a mitzvah, nothing is going to happen to him. And here we see terrible things happened. So what says Or HaChaim HaKadosh? There is a whole discussion. If Shluchai Mitzvah, if you're not going to get hurt, depends if you're doing a mitzvah. Before the mitzvah, after the mitzvah, during the mitzvah, if you learn Torah, didn't learn Torah, whatever it is, they bring a story with the guy who is a story in the Gemara, a famous story. A guy went up to bring his father, gozalim, small birds, and he fell from the ladder and died. So it says he wanted to do kibud avayim, and he died. How is that? Whole discussion in the Gemara. How could it be? Shluchai mitzvah enam nizokim. Anyway, getting back to our episode, says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and this shows us, and he brings a proof also from the written things, that the intention from the beginning was not good. They were not Shluchai Mitzvah. The intention from the beginning was bad. That's why the mitzvah didn't protect them, because they didn't go to do a mitzvah. But that's a different issue. The thing is now, after everything is happening, in order to make it clear for us what's happening, a group of people gets up and says, we want to go into Eretz Yisrael. We did a mistake, we sinned, now we do tshuva, and we won't go in. What is Moshe Rabbeinu telling them? What are they doing? They're going in. And what happens to them? They get killed. So what's going on here? Yesterday you told them to go into Eretz Israel. They came and told story, and they sinned, didn't go in. Okay, now they did tshuva. They want to go in. They want to do exactly what God told them yesterday to do. What's wrong now? Because what God said now, you're not going in. It's not Eretz Israel. It's not the Holy Torah. It's we do what God tells us to do. That's it. And when God told us to go into Eretz Israel, we should have gone. You didn't go, now God punished you, whatever it is, and told you not to go. So now to go to Eretz Israel is a mitzvah or sin?
It's a sin.
It's a sin. That's, by the way, to those who think that Eretz Israel is holy, even if you do sins. Even if you don't do mitzvahs. So you have to understand and realize. The meaning of the Kedusha, of the holiness of Eretz Israel, is the combination of Am Israel, Torah Israel, and Eretz Israel. That's the only combination that makes this land holy. When we, Am Israel, keep the Torah here in Eretz Israel. But if we don't keep the Torah in Eretz Israel, we do the worst thing we can. And it happens to us. We were thrown out for many years. Did we learn our lesson?
Oh, no.
That's why this is not a story. This is a real, true reality of our life now. The Torah is teaching us how to behave, how to deal with those spies inside us. How to understand that this world is only a painting.
Temporary.
And if you remember, I told you once the story of this big pong competition with the two painters. The two got to the finishing line, two painters. And each one of them put his picture in one side of the hall. And all the critics came to see who is going to win this competition. Everybody was there. The television, the radio, all the papers, everybody was there to do. The first picture was a vineyard. And it was so real that the birds from the window came and tried to eat the grapes. But only when they got very close, they realized it's a picture and went back. It's an unbelievable picture. Everybody was looking at it. On the other side was the other painter with his picture covered with a curtain. The critics come to him, okay, now show us your picture. He says, sorry, after this picture, I cannot show you anything. He says, what do you mean? You are now in a competition. We want to see the picture. We are going to decide which one is better. He says, no, after this picture, says, we want to see the picture. So sorry, I'm not moving the curtain. So one of the critics got into the picture and wants to move the curtain. And then he realized it's no curtain. It's a picture. The best picture he ever saw. The curtain was so real that the critic tried to move the curtain. But it was no curtain. This is God. God is the greatest painter in the world, in the universe. He painted a picture which is called the world. And in this picture, he painted us. And we think that this is real. Because the picture is so real that we think it's real. But it's not real. It's only a picture. Says the Mishnah, En tzayar ka'asher Hashem Elokeinu. There's no painter like our God. A normal painter can paint a picture, it can be beautiful, look real. But only God can paint a picture and give the picture life. And that's what's happening. But because the thing is that in the end of the day, it is a picture. Or in the modern way, it's a virtual world. Virtual reality. It's not reality. Our reality is the next world. That's it. We are neshamas. We are only now in a body. But it's temporary. The problem is that we think that that is the world and we're going to stay here forever. Because it's very tempting to think like this. If the Meraglim did the mistake, who are us? Not to make the mistake. But the point is that even if you do a mistake, there is always a way to do tshuva. As the Torah also tells us in our parsha. Let's see if I find this. Benislach lekol adat bnei Yisrael, I have to find it. Pasuk 25, Perek Tetvav. You know what? Let's go directly to Perek to Pasuk 26. Venislach lechol adat bnei Israel. I've got it. Perek Tetvav, Pasuk 26. Got it?
Yeah.
Venislach lechol adat bnei Israel velager agar betocham ki lechol ha'am bishgaga. And it's going to be forgiven to all the congregation of Am Israel and to everybody in them for it in respect of all the people. It was done in error. In other words, yes, we sin because sometimes, unfortunately, Yetzer Hara got his power on us and we do a mistake. But there is always a way to do tshuva. So in other words, to come and say that we are sinners and that's it, finish the story. No, that's exactly what the parsha is telling us. Yes, you can make a mistake, the meraglim did a big mistake, but you can also fix the mistake. You do tshuva and you fix the mistake and God forgives. In other words, there is always a way to come back to God. So if the meraglim that we've got inside us convince us to do stupid things, what should we do now? Give up? Of course, we do tshuva and we come back to God. But the problem is that sometimes we don't realize we did a mistake. So that's exactly also one of the part of that big learning from the parsha. Because the parsha is telling us it doesn't matter who you are and how great you are and how tzaddik you are. You can sin. Because in each one of us there is this personal ego that wants things. If it's honor, if it's parnosa, if it's money, if it's just to fulfill a lust or a joy you want. So you translate things that you see in a way it's going to suit your desire. And you think it's a mitzvah. As we see here, they were sent by God. But in Dvarim we see the real picture. It's not exactly true. Yes, God sent them. But God sent them because after they said what they said, there are two reasons to be sent. First of all, the reason was that look and see how beautiful is the country and the land I'm giving you. But the second reason was, if you believe in God, it's not strong enough. So in other words, the level of trust in God got lower, so the lower you get, the physical you get. In other words, if I'm in a very high spiritual way, so God is going to help me in a spiritual way. But if I'm lowering myself to a physical dimension, so God is going to help me through a physical dimension. In other words, the minute that they came and said they want to see the country, the land, it means that they don't trust God 100%. Now, if they don't trust God 100%, so what do we have to do? Okay. So if you don't trust God, so you have to act like a normal guy. And a normal people, when they come to conquer the place, they send spies. So in other words, the sending of the spies was because Am Yisrael was not in a right level to go into Eretz Israel in a spiritual way. And unfortunately, it got even worse. And they had to go around the desert for 40 years. So our big lesson is, when we see things, we have to remember the tzitzis. Ve'lo taturu achrei levavchem v'achrei enechem. Is what we see the right picture, or are we tempted to see the picture in a different light from the right light? That's a place to stop and think. So suddenly we can ask ourselves, how do I know? Really, how do I know? Especially if we're talking here about those meragli that were the biggest people in the nation. And they come and tell us the story. So, should I believe them? Shouldn't I believe? How do I know what to do? So, the Rav Dessler says an unbelievable thing. He says, in each one of us is what we call the true point. The neshama. And the neshama knows what's right and what's wrong. The neshama knows. And we get it sometimes, this deep feeling, what we're doing is wrong. Did you get it? And sometimes we get this feeling, this is right. And sometimes it doesn't look so beautiful. But inside we feel something that tells us, this is the right thing to do. So in other words, says the Rav Dessler, What you should do when you don't know if you see the right picture? Think. Is this what God wants me to do? Really wants me to do? Do I feel right with it? So I go with it. Now, if I'm not at that level, so there's always a way to ask somebody who can see the things in the right eyes. That's why we have leaders. But even there, we have to be careful. But we all know, deep inside, what is right and what is wrong. And the tzitzis is only a reminder. Because it's something to remind us that we have to see the things the way our fathers and forefathers saw them. And if somebody comes and makes new laws, we have to check them very carefully. Is it right or wrong? If we come to a new environment, God sent us. Now, is it right or is it wrong? So we have to remember what the spies did. Because they had this personal connection to the mitzvah, which is going to influence their future the way they thought, they changed or they didn't look in the right, true eyes at the picture. So we have to think when we see something. Are we going to benefit personally from what we see? And if yes, there is a point, let's think what God would want us to do. And Bezrat Hashem, if we look at things in the right eyes and take our emotion in the love of God, in the love of our brothers and sisters, not in the love of ourselves. So maybe then we can see the right picture and do the right thing, hopefully. And Bezrat Hashem, when each one of us is going to check his ways and see, is it the spy or is it the word of God? And this way, when we check ourselves once in a while and God sees it, God will help us to make the right decision. Don't worry. God will help us to make the right decision. You only have to try. And Bezrat Hashem, we try and we do the right thing.
I say that one won't be a